Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, hey, everybody. It is Tuesday. It is 6 o'clock. It is time for Shasta Unmasked right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I'm your host tonight, Ashley Winters. I have a co-host in studio, and that is the wondrous, the splendid
Nathan Blaze in the
studio. Yay! As always, one of our friends, colleagues, family, shall we call him?
Yes. How are you doing, Ashley?
And tonight, we're going to try to change pace a little bit. Normally we have a guest, and we're talking something, local, topical. But tonight, something is going to be a little bit more general, considering that the election is 14 days away, 2 weeks until official election day, even though early voting has started in some places. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that tonight we kind of do a deep dive on election, misinformation, disinformation, definitions of things that may have a different, other people may think mean something else, such as like a poll observer,
right?
Or what people do when they go and observe at the elections office. I think it's really important to understand how our elections office is working together this time, and also, to close it out, we're going to talk about, how important it is to get out there and go vote, no matter who you're voting for, make sure that your voice is heard. So to get things kicked off, Nathan, you've done a lot of posting about this, which is something that I think really does need the attention, as much attention brought to it, especially in Shasta County,
yes,
is the whole Tina Peters Mesa Pattern of Fraud saga that's going on over in Colorado.
Yes, definitely. That whole thing started, it was a couple of years ago where, the first news story started coming out about, Tina Peters, and I wasn't even really paying much attention to this, but the whole Shasta County aspect of this is that our Board of Supervisors, they passed that vote to get rid of our local election systems, our Dominion voting systems, which they voted out in the 3-2 vote. One of Kevin Cry's very first votes he ever did. And Patrick Jones, so many times, him and along with many of his supporters, before they even made that decision and a long time after, would continuously quote this Mesa pattern of fraud. And it turns out that originated from Mesa County, Colorado, and this whole situation with the former county clerk and registrar of Mesa County, Colorado, Tina Peters. And, it turned out really pretty recently, I want to say a couple weeks ago, the news came out, and we actually watched it live where she was at her sentencing hearing, and the judge handed down to her a sentence of 9 years in prison for her involvement in these election tampering schemes. And so I just felt like when I saw that news, it wasn't something that was being talked about that much in Shasta County or Redding. People just didn't know about it or weren't paying attention. But I immediately put two and two together because of all of the talk of the Mesa pattern of fraud. And then we start looking into it, and we see that Tina Peters has several direct connections to people in Shasta County, some of these extremely loud people, several of them public officials, like Patrick Jones, Patty Plum, who's on the Elections Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Jones brought in, this election fraud expert, self-proclaimed election fraud expert, Dr. Douglas Frank. And they did all these seminars, I guess you would call them, where they would have these local election deniers show up and pay him money so that he would tell them how there was all this fraud in these elections. And then he spoke with the judge. He showed up to Tina Peters' hearing in Mesa County, Colorado, and spoke on her behalf at her sentencing, and there's like just the connections that have been happening here, on top of the fact that none of these really loud people who spend a lot of time talking about the Mesa pattern of fraud or local election fraud, not a single one of them has said anything about Tina Peters. And it motivated me even more to look into the connections between what happened in Shasta County and what's going on with Tina Peters. And then just yesterday at the Shasta County Elections Commission, they brought in, and I forget his first name, but they brought in yet another election fraud expert, quote unquote, and his last name was Umfleet. And I have to assume that he was brought in by, you know, Patty Plum, Laura Hobbs, Patrick Jones, because Patrick Jones was there in the audience, so was Laura Hobbs, and they bring in yet another election fraud expert. And it turns out that this guy they brought in also donated to Tina Peters. So, you know, I thought it was a really good thing to see the way the judge spoke to Tina Peters before he sentenced her, you know, laid out everything, you know, and I believe what he was doing, he wasn't just speaking to Tina Peters, he was speaking to all of the people that she inspired with her behavior as well. Basically a blanket statement saying that this, you can't just do this, you can't interfere in our elections because you're afraid you won't win or for any reason whatsoever. And I just wanted to make sure, and that's why I've been so loud about it, that that same message is also being brought to Shasta County, where our entire election systems were, you know, overturned based off of the lies from this woman who is now, you know, a federal prisoner, or state prisoner, sorry.
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to be, at this point, it's a little bit both, I think.
Yeah.
But also, casting doubt upon the whole system has just concentric rings of damage that are ringing through all levels of government from top to bottom.
Right.
Simply based on, you know, what I always say is that people just won't admit that they were swindled by a con man, but that's
right.
Just my opinion. But also, at some point, you have to start just accepting, or you would think that people would start accepting the fact that these things that they were told and that they were, that they believed are not true.
They're just not true.
You can't be on one side of, you know, the election was fraudulent and the election was stolen, and also be on like the back of the blue side and, you know, people need to pay for their crimes,
mm-hmm.
and walk a line between these two things. Is like, she was convicted of crimes, you know, by the judicial system in Colorado. You have to put some stock in that.
Well,
that it isn't just like some grand conspiracy theory.
You would think
it's that
it's just,
she committed crimes and now she is going to pay for them.
Right. You know, the party of law and order. That's what I feel like these people have touted themselves as so much, you know, but the thing is they always have these perfect little excuses to come up with justifying continuing down this path of, you know, lies and disinformation and supporting someone who, if they weren't so connected on this fundamental level because of how much they've invested time into supporting this guy, they would not support this guy, you know. It's just the little phrase they like to say now is if they actually see legal consequences for their actions, and this is just yet another thing that Donald Trump coined and now has trickled down amongst his supporters, is they just refer to it as political lawfare or weaponization of the justice system. Because that's their excuse now, instead of, no, you're just getting the consequences for the actions that you did. It now has to mean that you're just being somehow victimized. And that's the frustrating thing, is they always have some little excuse or response to continue justifying this horrible, appalling behavior.
Yeah, and it's like the time-honored tradition in American politics of accepting defeat graciously,
mm-hmm.
is something that has only been lost in this, you know, election cycle before this last one, and something needs to be said. There's something to be said about that portion of American politics where, you know, the peaceful transfer of power is kind of monumental in how much that can affect the baseline trust in the system.
Right.
And we've seen that if, you know, this, any leader that refuses to accept a loss, you have to really take into question the other things that they refuse to accept that are policy things that affect everybody.
Right.
And it is time for a break. When we come back, we will talk more about election issues and how they affect Shasta County. And, man, it's a fast time. This goes by so quick. We'll be right back.
Burning themselves now, begging for our help. Wow. Who's done in California? My turn to ignore ya. Don't say I didn't want ya. All the good girls go. Cause even God herself has no reason. Once the water.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
The Ramsey Show.
When you're walking around with a little picket in your hand and you're saying, I demand $22 to work at McDonald's, then you don't get to bitch about inflation.
Yes.
Because you caused it.
It's The Ramsey Show, where we talk about your life and your money. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Ain't nobody do it like I do it. You ain't never been on my level. I got a problem with the way they keep on talking and acting like everybody gonna get it. Better sleep with your eyes open. You wanna know what I noticed? Look around in my fan base and I'm ready.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Shasta Unmasked. I'm Ashley Winters here with Nathan Blaze. We are talking about Shasta County elections, misinformation, disinformation, things you should know about, especially around this subject, which is another heated one in Shasta County, is poll workers, poll observers in the elections department.
Right.
What is acceptable and what is not acceptable when you are trying to observe at the elections department, when you are observing the process? What you are not is an investigator.
No.
You are an observer.
Right.
Imagine you are somebody who works.
You're also not a journalist either.
Yeah, you're not
that.
A journalist.
Just because you print out your own press badge
doesn't mean you're a journalist. Watching people count votes. But just imagine you're at your job, and your job is, to concentrate on something because you need to keep track of things. You have somebody standing over your shoulder trying to micromanage how you're doing your job. You think that you'd be very effective at what you were trying to do?
Right. No, I mean, definitely not. You know, if you have like an overbearing boss that's just over your shoulder and it's causing you to make mistakes because they're right there and they're in your face and they won't leave you alone. And then you accidentally get forced into making like a slight mistake. And then that person goes and immediately writes a report about the mistakes you make and what a terrible employee you are. That's essentially right. What these local, you know, people that have called themselves election observers, you know, have done. And I've watched it personally and through multiple elections here in Shasta County. I've been an election observer and I've been an election observer. and I've gone specifically because I've trusted what the election staff was doing. I'm not actually there to make sure they're doing it right, which they actually have been extremely transparent about. And they've gone through, and I got a nice walkthrough at one point that I filmed, and they showed the whole process, how it all works, what all the bins are for, how it, you know, where everything's supposed to go. And they were very transparent. And then these people, you know, I don't even want to name their names, but I'm sure everybody knows who I'm talking about, you know, show up and they, you know, put on the election observer badge. But I've literally watched them do nothing but hound and harass the election staff, ask the same questions over and over, and what I believe is just an attempt to cause a problem because they can't actually find one. That's what I feel what they're trying to do, and that is not what being a poll watcher is or an election observer. That is just literally just harassing people at their workplace.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, imagine you're trying to count out your till at the end of your shift, and the last customer that just decide to hang out and stand over your shoulder and start shouting out random numbers while you're trying to count change. And then they're like, why can't you be good at your job?
Yeah, and then they go to the board meeting the next week and then tell the whole community that they were treated like prisoners. Because that happens too. I just can't explain these people and why they think the way that they do. It's completely not anything normal from what I've grew up with my whole life. Just the normalcy of the normal level of social contract that you have with other people. And they just violate it egregiously.
No, it's just because people serve or work for and with the public does not make you their boss.
No.
The whole entitlement thing over people who are public servants, that you somehow are above them, mm-hmm. because they're elected officials or they are supposed to serve the community. Wherever that got started, I'm just a blank on, because I can't pinpoint whenever that began to be a thing. But it really needs to stop.
No,
because
they're representatives. They're representing you, but that does not, it's not synonymous with, you know, your employee. And they try to make this jump over to that, and they go to these public meetings and they get up there, and, you know, they're mad about whatever they're personally mad about, but then they say, you have to fix this because I don't know, let's say Greg, pay your salary.
Yeah.
Well, okay, do you pay the whole salary? Because I'm pretty sure you're just paying a small portion of taxes along with the rest of us. You
right.
know, as are these politicians or government employees as well. You're just part of the whole thing. You're not anybody's boss because you're just one of the normal contributors to taxes.
Right, and not even all of those taxes come from Shasta County, to be perfectly honest, either.
Nope.
Yeah, a lot of that comes from the rest of the state.
Right.
So yeah, if you're gonna go observe at the elections office, be respectful. Be mindful of people's space. They need space to be able to do their job. All of these people who have been preparing for the election, have been doing so for months.
Right.
And everybody who has wanted to go and observe has been given the opportunity for multiple years to understand how the entire system works. Especially this new heart system that they had to put together and make work in the last election, mm-hmm. because everybody dilly-dallied around except for Kathy Darling Allen and Joanna, who were like, we gotta, you know, who are, God forbid, well, you know, abiding by California elections and federal standards of how you're supposed to run an election, and making sure that everything is prepared properly. Also, while dealing with people coming in and consistently questioning them the same things over and over again.
Right.
And they're getting the same answers, but just refuse to believe the information no matter how many different ways.
Well, that's because the questions themselves, I believe, in the first place, are they're only there for bad faith entirely. They're not actually there to discover voter fraud.
No.
They're not there for that. They're not in good faith trying to find real problems. I've literally witnessed when former candidate for supervisor Laura Hobbs, and she sued the county and everything, she, you know, I watched Joanna sit there and explain something to her, and I filmed this whole thing. It was like a 10-minute video of Joanna calmly and respectfully answering all of these questions that Laura Hobbs had. And Laura Hobbs said on video, you have satisfied my need, you know, to whatever she was trying to figure out. She's told her, I'm good. You've explained it. We're good. Like 2 days later at the next board meeting, she comes in with this whole list of all these complaints about the election staff, how she was treated horribly, how all of these things that are somehow fraudulent are happening. But it's like, I watched you 2 days ago say that you were satisfied with all of the answers Joanna had given you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. She was never there to get answers. She just wants to be able to say, these people want to go there and say they were there, they were observers, and they just want to come back and do anything they can to throw a wrench in the election process. And I honestly don't quite understand this, especially at this local level, especially when people like Patrick Jones, you know, and Chris Kellstrom, you know, talk about election fraud or something, or Kevin Cry. Like, you guys all got elected by these machines.
Mm-hmm.
By the same ROV, you know? So how can you say that there's, you know, I don't remember them talking about all this fraud and election interference when they all won, you know? But then as soon as they lose an election, there's all of a sudden fraud. Like, that's, but you guys won. So you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. It just doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
No, and again... all of these election denial issues spring from the same thing that we were talking about earlier, is this whole Mesa pattern of fraud.
Right.
The you know, Tina Peters, Mike Lindell, Doug Frank.
Right.
And just sowing a distrust before there's even an issue, making people skeptical of even the process.
Right.
Before there's even A, an election, or B, results.
Right. I think this
is
what Patrick Jones has been doing for a while now. He even went on a recent interview with some Dutch news publication, and they asked him, what are you going to do if, you know, Trump loses? You know, and he said his first words were, "Well, if they cheat him out of it again," you know, like that's how he regards that question. It's like they're already laying the groundwork, because I think a lot of these people, it's a lot of it's fear-based. I think they're afraid that they are legitimately going to lose not only the national election, but the local, you know, supervisor race. I think there's a lot of legitimate fear from their side there that they won't get to keep their 3-2 red, white, and blueprint majority, you know, and a new board majority could undo a lot of the work that, you know, they consider work, but a lot of the time and money they've spent over the past several years to try to mold Shasta County into this sort of MAGA Trump Zion. And they know that if they lose this election, a lot of that could get undone. And so they're just ready to say that it's going to be fraudulent no matter what, unless their guy wins. But if their guy wins, you know what they're going to say? There was still fraud, but he won by so much that he beat the fraud. That's what they will say, because Patrick said that before. That's what they will say.
Oh God, it's not one thing, there's always an answer.
They always have an excuse, and always.
Yep, move the goalposts, find a new straw man.
Yep.
When we come back from this break, we are going to talk about the elections department specifically. There is a new ROV that's in there that has been installed. Joanna is still there, but she is still working, you know, the hardest.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe when we get back, we'll take some calls. We have a phone number. I bet you wish you had it. It's 415-903-7539 this time. 415-903-7539 if you'd like to call in. And we'll be right back with Shasta Unmasked.
Yeah, it's the real one, baby.
I'm telling you,
Shasta fan, up. Southside, Southside, we gon' set this party off right. Westside, Westside, we gon' set this party off right. Man, I promise, she's so self-conscious, she has no idea what she.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy.
We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
And we're back. This is Shasta Unmasked. I'm Ashley Winters. We got Nathan Blaze with us. We are talking elections. Election is 2 weeks away. Everybody who has been working on elections has been doing so very, very heatedly, I'm assuming, for the last several months, especially in Shasta County, that there is an appointed ROV that has been installed over there, Tom Toller. Since Kathy Darling Allen retired.
You gotta imagine, too, it was a 4-page ballot. It was a big ballot this year.
Yeah, I haven't even, I don't know how big my ballot, I have my ballot, but I haven't opened it yet.
A lot of propositions.
The one thing that I did want to kind of talk about a little bit, too, in this is, so there was an elections commission meeting that was yesterday, correct?
Yes.
How is Brad Garba being accepted into the Elections Commission?
not amazingly, because you got to think of who the initial three ladies that are on it. They are, I like to refer to them as surrogates for Tina Peters. They they all on, you know, in lockstep with their election fraud conspiracy beliefs, election denialism. And, you know, this, just like the Board of Supervisors, this is supposed to be a nonpartisan, you know, government position, but that's not how any of this stuff seems to be working anymore. The chair of the Elections Commission, Ronnyan Lund, I'm not going to try to quote her because I don't remember her exact words, but I believe it can probably be easily found on the Internet. But she had made public statements about Brad Garbutt and, I believe, wanting to get him off the Elections Commission like a week after he was appointed, you know?
Yeah.
And he was ended up being Tim Garman's appointment, who tried to appoint me, then tried to appoint Benjamin Nowain from the North State Breakdown, and those were shot down. And then Brad Garbutt was finally appointed because they might have realized that they can't just keep saying no to anybody that Tim puts up, because that looks pretty discriminatory.
Right.
But they have. I do not believe, if you were to actually speak to Brad, that he would say that it's been, you know, joyous working with those three ladies up there.
So, are they cooking up any kind of recommendations for the BOS for the 29th? That's like the week before.
Oh yeah. The election. I wish I'd have brought in a copy of the agenda from the Elections Commission meeting yesterday. But as they've done in the past, they keep trying to officially, and these are all just the three of them voting again, just like the Board of Supervisors. There's now five. Mary appointed someone and he was approved. So it's Brad Garbutt and Mike, I forget his last name, but all these decisions are being pushed through by the three in the middle, just like the board, who were all appointed by those three board members, you know, and so they've already pushed through, you know, recommendations to the board, which they voted on, that directly violate California state law. They have officially recommended that the Board of Supervisors violate California state law. And so the agenda yesterday was, I would urge anybody to, I'm probably still somewhere online on the county website, to just go read through the agenda items, because every single one of them is just a complete non-starter that is based in election fraud conspiracy theories and trying to undermine the elections. And I spoke at the meeting yesterday, and I spoke to the commissioners, and my advice to them was, this is just, you guys, I know you guys all saw what happened to Tina Peters, and you guys have direct connections to her, and you guys are still using your official governmental power to try to push for things that violate state law. And I asked them, do you guys actually legitimately believe that you're immune from legal consequences? Because I bet Tina Peters thought that too, you know? So I can't with these people. I'm just, how do they think that this is okay? Where does the hubris come from of thinking that they can just definitely, absolutely get away with this? And I tried to bring up that you're doing this in the largest blue, most leftist state in the country, state of California. And we have this huge election coming up, and I gave an example, like, say Kamala wins, and then Democrats, you know, wins the Senate, and we win Congress. Do you not think that after this highly emboldened Democratic administration is put in place, that they might not then want to go back and investigate these county-level politicians who were breaking the law and trying to undermine the elections? You know, I'm just like, do you really, like, where is this level of hubris coming from? I don't think any of you want to go to prison, like, and have to get put through what Tina Peters did, but they're just quadrupling down, and I don't understand.
I think that on a national level, the people who have been put into the spotlight for being scrutinized for their agendas that they're putting out to throw shade at elections, you know, the funding for those people's, like, counsel and lawyers and things is almost never ending, because they just grift off the people that support them.
Yeah, they,
like, they're not paying for their own counsel. Yeah. The people, you know, Trump supporters are paying for that. People who follow, you know, and donate money to Mike Lindell.
Yeah.
People who donate and, you know, follow, like, Alex Jones and things like that. Those are the people that, you know, who don't have a whole lot of money to begin with are like throwing money away trying to keep this lie going based off of just results that they don't like.
Right.
I think that also the people who push to have this interview process for the ROV, again, are having a little bit of buyer's remorse because I don't think Tom Toller turned into what they were hoping.
Right.
I think that he ended up being a meat shield against Clint Curtis, which we can all be grateful for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Kevin Cry sort of, he caught everybody off guard when he did that because he really did strong arm that decision.
Yeah.
Because they all wanted Clint Curtis. That was their guy. That was Patty Plum's guy, Laura Hobbs' guy, Patrick Jones' guy. They wanted Clint Curtis, another, you know, famous election fraud expert from somewhere else. And Kevin, for whatever reason he did it, might have been a power move to show Patrick that he's in charge now. I'm not sure. But he did that, and then Tom Toller. Luckily, this might have been one of the better things I would say Kevin Cry actually did, because I think Tom Toller has ended up, at least so far, being much better than I think someone like Clint Curtis would have.
Yeah, he inadvertently did the right thing by trying to make a power move.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine the level of state involvement at this point if Clint Curtis had been installed in that position?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You want to talk about, like, people who don't want the state involved in their stuff, who are constantly doing things that are definitely going to get the state involved in their stuff.
I know. Keep the state out of Reading. Well, then why do you keep doing stuff to get the state's attention?
Stop trying to get sued by the state then. Yeah.
They keep writing laws about your behavior, so maybe make them stop doing that by stopping the behavior.
Two times so far you would think that somebody would maybe say, you know what, they're kind of paying attention to us a little bit, maybe we should just chill out.
Yeah. Like, the fact they're paying attention now, that's why I'm like, do you election commissioners not, do you think they're going to just forget all about this? Like, do you think they're just going to forget that Patrick Jones went on the radio with a former elections commissioner and tried to get her to convince the people of the community to send their ballots to his red, white, and blueprint buddy that attended insurrection that literally happened? And the state's going to remember it. That's not going to get forgotten, even if these people try to forget it. It's still there. And the consequences could still easily happen for all of this stuff.
Yeah, continually trying to, and it's, again, it's even more crazy because not only do they try to do these things, you know, in their little election, their little committee bubbles and things like that, but then they go on their own media platforms and then very loudly broadcast that they're trying to supersede or just circumvent California state law.
Right.
Over things that they very clearly don't understand, that the board of supervisors don't have jurisdiction over things like that.
Right. The board of supervisors has so much less jurisdiction over things than some of these people realize, including several of the members of the board of supervisors.
Right, but they don't ever do anything to disparage any of that. They don't, you know, the one thing that Kevin probably could do that would relieve most of the pain that he suffers being the chair and having to listen to the public is explain to them whenever they come up there, say like, hey, I totally understand that you have a concern about this. You can send me an email because I love getting emails because it makes me feel nice and big and important. but we don't have any jurisdiction over this, so can we move on to something else?
Right.
And, you know, if he would even just do that, like, you know, the Chester County Board of Supervisors doesn't have any jurisdiction over national elections. Next.
Right.
Like, that would be great.
Well, the problem with that is Kevin is vindictive and petty. He really is. He likes it when the people go up and they start saying the things ideologically that he agrees with, but he's so very quick to, you know, to keep someone on the current agenda item when it's someone he, you know, disagrees with ideologically. And we have just an unlimited number of examples of him allowing certain people to just go completely off script And then when, you know, somebody doesn't like, you know, talks a little bit around the point they're supposed to be talking, he just, like, R5. Just interrupts them. And I'm like, dude, you know, you can't. You're just showing that you're completely biased and you're supposed to be representing all of us, and you're clearly not. Like, you clearly really don't like some of us, and you show it. And that is not proper behavior for an elected politician, in my opinion.
Right. And what you just said is what we will be talking about when we come back from the next break. I want to talk about how important your vote is, and to vote for people who are not just going to represent you, but represent everybody that they are elected to represent. And that is something that is very important we need to talk about right here when we come back on Shasta Unmasked.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. Please join us as we welcome Lindsay Bloom, star of the new Mike Hammer. Plus, we'll welcome back our friend, movie and TV historian, Tom Lasonti. That's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hello, hello, hello again. This is Ashley Winters here with Shasta Unmasked. We have Nathan Blaze with us tonight. We are talking about elections. It's coming up. It's 2 weeks away. There's one more Board of Supervisors meeting between now and then. It's on the 29th. The agenda has not come out for that. It'll probably come out on Friday. But I assume that one is probably going to be loaded with people begging the Board of Supervisors to just last minute shove hand one day hand counting voting in.
I hope they at least wear costumes. If they at least wear costumes, that'd make it more bearable, I think.
Because it's before Halloween. It's the Halloween episode of Suits.
Yeah. What if people wore costumes of the other people that show up to the meetings? That would be
that would be the best episode of Soups ever. But I think that we should probably, number one most important thing, and you said something about it right before we went to break, was that last time, or not last time, but, oh, I mean, I guess it was last time, for the midterm election, that the scheme somehow had been hatched for people to just give their unused ballots to somebody who isn't the county registrar or, you know, or the elections office.
Right.
That is a big bad idea.
Yeah.
Do not give your ballot to a stranger, no matter how political they say they are.
Don't give it to anybody.
Don't give it to anybody.
No.
Give it to a drop box. Give it to an official elections worker.
Save it for election day if you want to. Walk right in there and give it right to an election worker. They can tell you right where to put it. You know, just don't give it to someone saying that they want to collect ballots for blank reason.
Nobody should be soliciting any kind of ballot collection.
No.
No. It's just not something that's not, even if it is in good faith, just don't. Because there's been so much shade and shadow cast upon any kind of ballot harvesting, ballot collecting. Just don't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I think that also everybody, the one thing that we are absolutely guaranteed upon in this, that is guaranteed by the Constitution, is that we get to vote.
Right.
And
our sacred right as Americans.
It is, yes. And I think that when you do so, you really need to consider in your choices who you want to put into power that is going to be the best representation of everybody.
Right.
And not just the people that you agree with. I know it's hard to try and think of, you know, literally the whole royal everybody outside of your little, outside of a bubble sometimes, the people that you directly, you know, interact with on a regular basis. But it really, really need to take into consideration that people that are going to represent everybody and not just the people that they agree with, mm-hmm. not people that are solely talking about grievances and not talking about the people that they are going to represent. And that is a big tell on who is going to be an effective leader and an effective elected person
right.
versus somebody who is just going to waste time and money occupying a seat that they're only doing so for their own interests.
Right. Just, I think when it comes to voting, I talked about this previously on social media, but, you know, my fiance and I, we don't take voting lightly. You know, we don't just get our ballots and then flip through and vote for whoever has, you know, a D next to their name or something like that. No, we have a whole, like, process. You know, we go through a the obvious races, I try to get those out of the way first. The things I'm already informed on, the things I already know for a fact, this is what I'm voting for, and I understand it, and I'm going to vote for this thing. I get all those out of the way. Then we go back through and say it's a candidate. You know, you research. You actually research the people. You pick up your phone. You open up Google. You find things they've said. You find their social media and see what they're saying. Find things they've said during, you know, major events and see what their stances on those things have been. You know, you can find a lot of this stuff. Be truly informed before you cast your sacred vote for anybody. And when it comes to like a measure or a proposition, do the research on those too. Find out what exactly they mean and just do real legitimate research, you know, because it is a very important election. Did we lose somebody?
No. I just...
Oh, okay.
That was my system.
Oh, gotcha. But yeah, just be an informed voter, really, you know?
And yeah, and you can make yourself the most informed by checking out your ballot booklet, mm-hmm. where it has all the explanations of all the measures and, you know, and all the candidates and everything. Yeah, just be informed, but also be a little skeptical.
Right.
And there's a lot of good local coverage on, you know, local candidate forums where people, you know, where sometimes people showed up and sometimes people didn't show up.
Right.
Sometimes people showed up mentally. Sometimes people did not show up mentally. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to be said for also the people who go to all these events and record those things and put them on the internet for people to be able to see, because not everybody can be everywhere all the time. This has been a real long, busy arduous election cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like it's been 10 years this has been going on.
A little PTSD, I don't know. It's
yeah.
I just, you know, I really, the overall goal, especially for Shasta County, but, like, for the country itself is, you know, you can like the candidate you like. You can be a supporter of Kamala or a supporter of Trump. But if you look at things objectively, I don't remember a time before Trump when the right and the left were so at each other's throats. And I'm not saying that is all entirely Trump's fault, but something happened. A new mentality was born, and I don't know. I'm not saying every single thing that Trump did as president was just completely horrible, but I believe what he did for the society of our country and how a lot of people regard each other and all these newfound fears and all this mistrust, and I think somehow that is what he's just going to bring a further version of to the country, you know, and it's going to just trickle down to our little county like it did before, and we're going to be dealing with more nonsense like we've been for the last 4 years, and it just doesn't seem like that's what's going to happen if someone like locally Mary Rickert keeps her seat and just continues doing the great job she's been doing, you know. I don't know. I want to have some faith in the voters of Shasta County to be the people that I knew growing up in Shasta County and not just get sucked into these conspiracy theories, you know,
right.
and all and, these this party of grievances.
Right. And when you actually watch the candidates speak, if there's a glaring difference in the people who care about the job and the people who care about the position. And I think those are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that this weird notion that you have to be in love with a politician to vote for them is absolutely insane.
Right.
You can despise a politician and still vote for them because you think that, you know, they're not going to send us into some insane downward spiral with Russia,
right.
or whatever.
We should be skeptical with all of the people that we elect to office. Doesn't matter what platform mm-hmm. or party they're running on. There should be skepticism of those that you want to be your representatives.
Yeah, and that's why you stay involved in the politics and not just, like, as soon as people are elected, you're like, okay, and you throw your papers in the air and you walk off.
Yeah.
It, you know.
Job done. Democracy secure.
Yeah. Election's done.
Back to pandemic-style Netflix binging.
With the last couple of minutes, I would like to do a couple of plugs. One, I would love to plug a news cafe who will definitely keep us all up to date and informed on election results.
Mm-hmm.
Also, definitely check on the registrars, the county elections office. Election day, they keep their stats up to the second. If you want to keep up with that kind of stuff, I'd like to give a shout out to Benjamin Nguyen of the North State Breakdown,
who's
been kicking it into high gear with shorter videos, little punches of quick information,
mm-hmm.
Commercials. Like his YouTube channel and all of his he's really upped his game in the last couple of months or so, and we're super proud of him.
Oh yeah. His breakdowns are great, so informative, but, you know, just enough information to where you can get through it all and it's not an overload.
Right. And I think that is also, if you'd like to become a sponsor of Shasta Unmasked, hit us up on our Facebook page as Shasta Unmasked on Facebook and find out how you can become a sponsor of our show. I think that is going to be it for us this evening. Thank you so much, Nathan, for coming on with me. Thank you for, as always, being a great co-host. And we'll talk to everybody
next week. All right, have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.